Hello, everyone, and welcome to So How Was Your Weekend? Where Shannon and Craig go in search of an interesting answer to the world's most boring question. And we have an adventure lined up for this weekend.
Yeah, we do. We're going to go disc golfing.
Or frisbee golfing.
Or frothing. I think that's all of it.
Yeah.
Flying, disc throwy, pole holy.
All of that too. So maybe you've heard of disc golf before.
Maybe you haven't.
Here's how I would sum it up.
All right.
Okay. Summit. Here's the Shannon summary.
Mm-hmm.
You and a bunch of your homies.
Gangsta.
Go to some wooded area.
Mm-hmm.
You're likely wearing cargo shorts.
Oh.
And like maybe a Mexican blanket poncho. At least one of you is. Perhaps you're drinking Twisted Teas or Bud Lights.
Mm-hmm.
And you are wandering through the woods throwing frisbees into baskets.
Yeah.
That's my explanation.
And being like, hey, good throw of that frisbee.
Yeah. But really, it is the game of golf, only instead of using a golf stick to hit a golf ball into a hole.
Golf stick. And ball into a hole, yep.
You are throwing a frisbee into a basket.
Right. Yeah, that's it. You nailed it. Except for the poncho.
No?
I feel like that might get in the way of a little bit of, you know, motion. But I've never worn a poncho. Not even like a rain poncho.
Have you been friends with someone that wears a poncho?
I would never be friends with someone. Although, no, hold on. No, I'm going
to go back to the college years, yeah. Sir.
Okay. I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, they definitely wore cargo shorts.
Okay.
That's happening.
So I got that part. Right.
So it's exactly golf, but with different equipment. Yeah. Nicely done.
Although, so here's the question. In the Venn diagram of, I'm going to call it stick golf. And disc golf. Is there anyone in the center of that Venn diagram?
Sure.
Okay. That's a question I have. I want to know who those people are.
Oh.
What they're all about. Because though they follow the same rules, I just wouldn't... When I picture a stick golfer, I don't picture them having anything in common with a disc golfer.
Like an elitist. Like someone who would pay a good amount to play stick golf. Wouldn't want to go walk around in the woods. Oh.
Drinking Twisted Tea. Probably not.
I wonder if real golfers, stick golfers, drink Twisted Tea.
We have a lot to learn, clearly, folks.
Oh my gosh.
We've already done our 10 minutes of research.
Yes, we have.
But as you can see, we are still...
I'm so...
bereft with questions.
Yeah, so I have a lot of history... and it starts with a guy named Steady Ed Hedrick, which is my first band name, I think.
It's a dope name.
It is. Steady Ed Hedrick. Woo! He is the grandfather, the guy who came up with it all. He worked for Wham-O, the company, and came up with the plastic flying disc as we know it now.
Which was called a...
Frisbee. So he invented the Frisbee. He's got the patent on it in 1966. In 1975, he said, hey, man, let's throw it at something. And he has the patent in 1975 for the target or the basket that we know and love today.
And the name of the product on the patent is referred to as the disc golf pole hole.
Pole holes.
Although my understanding was prior to patenting the disc golf pole hole that one of the first iterations of disc golf was throwing discs into hula hoops. Throwing Wham-O frisbees into Wham-O hula hoops.
Right. As a promotional gig for Wham-O. The company back in 1966 and 67. To cross products, put them together. What do you got? A good time. Except probably really hard to see where the hula hoops were.
If there's like grass. You'd be like,
where's the hula hoop, man?
It's true.
Twisted tees got me all twisted. That's probably how they came up with it. So Steady Eddie Hendrick, number 001 with the PDGA registered, came up with it. And then it sort of took off in 1968. Other people started to like check it out.
Can you say what PDGA is?
It is the professional, the P, the disc, D, G, oh my gosh, what's it?
Golf.
Association, A.
We got through that
together. We did, PDGA. It's so much better to say that. So they started just throwing around, and in 1976, 10 years later, there was the first official golf course, frisbee golf, frolf course, out there in Pasadena, where they just threw at poles.
Oh.
Just a pole. Hit the pole,
at
man.
That point, it's just a pole. Okay.
Although they did have the patent out in 1975.
And so Steady Ed was really heading up
Steady Ed
all of this.
Yes.
Making it
a thing.
Professionally organized sport with tournaments and whatnot.
But, and yeah, and currently it's the fourth fastest growing participant sport in the United States, behind number one MMA. Sorry, I had the echo on that later.
I can't believe MMA is still considered a growing sport.
Yeah, people just want to fight each other.
But I thought it had reached its full potential of growth. It's not even flatlining yet.
People are like, oh, I could totally fight. Roller derby number two. Which we will be soon exploring.
Wow, we're really hot on the trends.
Right. And parkour is third for participants. And then frolf.
Okay, so when you say participant sports, that means it's the MMA and the parkour, which back in my day was called freestyle walking.
Mm-hmm. Freestyle walking.
It's shocking to me that just a lot of everyday people would go out and take on those two things.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas throwing a frisbee in the woods, sure, that seems accessible. But jumping off buildings and stuff.
And then rolling.
Yeah, and beating people into bloody pulps.
Huh. Well, that's what kind of what roller derby is in a way, too. Like, but there's strategy. We'll get more into that during
roller derby. We'll learn all about that.
Unfortunately, with that growing sport, only 7.6% of the PDGA participants are women.
Only 7% women repping?
Those males are all over those pole holes. No ladies around.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Once again, we got to get the ladies into this.
Hey, ladies.
Get
frolfing.
I liked that. I'm sure that the Beastie Boys are honored. Well done.
Yes.
Woo!
All right. Okay. Should we take a break or no?
You need a break.
Break. All right.
So I have some news to break to you.
What?
And all of our listeners.
No.
Is really, I would say, from this point forward, we should no longer be calling this sport frisbee golf or frolf.
But I'm throwing a frisbee.
And you think you're throwing a frisbee.
Okay.
But we should stick with the term disc golf. And here is why.
Tell me more.
You want to hear about some beef?
Mad beef.
All right. So let's go back to our buddy Steady Ed.
Mm-hmm. Frisbee inventor.
Frisbee inventor who worked for Wham-O.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess indirectly Wham-O must own the patent for this or something. So when Steady Ed went on to make disc golf a thing and host all of these tournaments, Wham-O was the main sponsor and they just totally had their hands in this, to the point where eventually WAMO made a rule that every disc golf competition, you had to be using a WAMO brand frisbee. And the people in the association that were going to the tournaments were not accepting of this because there were other brands and styles of frisbees that they wanted to use. And so WAMO was not pleased with this.
They were like, hell no.
Right. This was a huge moneymaker for them, I would assume. And so they were like, fine, if you're not going to throw our WAMO frisbees, then you can't call your sport frisbee golf anymore because that's our name. And the golfers were like, fine, WAMO, keep your stupid frisbee.
Shove it in your pole hole.
Right. We're going to call it disc golf.
Corporations, man. I get it.
Damn the man.
So we're calling them discs. Flying discs.
Yes.
Okay.
Did you learn about discs?
I know that there are three types of discs that you may throw, or that people generally tend to have and put in very large backpacks.
And they are like golf clubs, like types of golf clubs, I believe, right?
That makes sense.
A driver, that's a type of golf club.
Right, and a putter.
Yes. Is there such thing as a mid-range
your irons. Golf club?
Okay.
It all makes sense. It's all really coming together.
Did you learn any details about what the three types of disc do? They're pretty self-explanatory know about golf.
Yeah, if you know about regular golf. Yeah, so the putter stuff that's up close, probably like 20. I'm making this up. Like 20 feet, I guess? I don't know. I can't throw a frisbee for nothing. I'm sorry. I can't throw a flying disc.
It's hard to relearn. You've lived your whole life.
Yes. The driver is where you want to throw for a long distance, to try to throw it as far as you possibly can. And the mid-range is probably for more tricky shots, like where you don't need as much accuracy as a putter, but probably...
don't need as much distance either.
Right, yeah.
This is all true. Then it gets even more intense, though, because within the three categories of putter, mid-range, and driver... it seems like there are a million choices of what kind of disc you would pick. There isn't just one shape, weight of driver. They come in all different weights, I believe, or they're designed in different ways to have different aerodynamics. Right.
They're like off, the weight is off center. So when you throw it, like will fade or hook. Again, these are like golf terms, but I did see that. Yeah. Like if you throw one is perfectly level, the way that it spins will cause it to go left or right.
Right. And depending on your, I guess, your throwing style, you might pick a disc that tends to hook more to the left or more to the right. Or you might pick one that somehow is designed to give you extra glide, or certain ones are made to cut through wind better. So maybe the wind one you would use on like a big open field on a windy day, and then you would not use that one. Pretty much this is how people who play disc golf end up with huge bags full of discs.
Wow.
Because when you get really into it, you like bust out a different one for every throw you do.
That's way too much thinking for me. I think I'm going to have a hard time with this. This might be like my yoga of like sitting still.
I feel like I would be a simpleton. Yeah, I just want one of each.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Just throw it, man.
But we know that our friend Matt that we're going with has a legitimate disc golf backpack. We are going to have many discs to choose from.
I'd probably just pick my favorite color. It doesn't even matter what it would look like. I'm like, oh, that blue's pretty sweet.
And you're just throwing with a putter off of the tee.
Yeah.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. It's gonna be great. Those are my expectations. Like, it's going to be hard for me to decide that stuff, if that's, like, a thing.
I think I'm just going to ask what disc I can use. And I think I'm not going to be changing it up, because I think you have to actually have a set form and style and know what you're doing to be choosing between 20 discs.
Speaking of knowing what you're doing, did you think about what you're going to wear? Gonna go over the top?
I thought crazy. It would be funny to dress like a stereotypical golfer person.
Lady golfer?
Yeah. So I think that would involve Bermuda shorts of some kind.
White shoes? Do they? Yeah.
White shoes.
Is that a thing? I feel like that's
Golfers wearing white shoes, sure. And what are those shirts with the collar and the buttons at the top?
The polo shirts?
Ugh. Yeah. The polo shirts, which, as you know, is just none of the things I just described do I own. Maybe I can find them at a thrift store or something.
Nice. Yeah, but you're hiking through the woods, so I may be a little bit more conservative.
And practical?
Practical. That makes sense, too. Yeah, like boots?
Maybe? Like hiking boots?
Yeah, right?
I'm not picturing it like, being like and rugged
wool socks to match my cargo shorts.
So you're thinking like in addition to throwing frisbees into baskets, there's going to be legitimate hiking?
Yeah. It's not going to be flat like a golf course and like well-groomed, so I feel like walking through a field or the woods would require some sort of extra attention for that terrain.
Oh, I'm thinking about this way too casually, clearly.
No, you're thinking about it way too formally.
Well, I just want to dress as a golfer as a joke. I don't really think... I think I'll be the only one showing up in that outfit.
Ah.
Can I tell you about one fear I have?
Yes, tell me about a fear.
I'm afraid that I'm going to get really bored really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've gone mini golfing a lot, having spent part of my childhood growing up on Cape Cod. Like, you go mini golfing once a week. And I just don't have the patience to go through a round of mini golf. It's really hard for me to get through the whole game. And so I'm worried after a few holes of disc golf that I might just lose focus or get bored.
Right, because it's almost a focus game. In a way.
Yeah.
But it's not an action sport.
I'm hoping that being out in the woods and having the nature and stuff will alleviate that somewhat. Because I like walking through the woods hiking and stuff.
Mm.
And I don't get bored of that. So I guess I'm hoping that it'll be a little more interesting than a mini golf course.
Right. Like finding a round piece of plastic in the woods is going to be more fun than a ball.
I hope so.
Well.
Anything else?
No.
We're gonna go do this.
I should probably stretch.
Stretch out your arms.
And my cargo shorts. Put some extra stuff in there.
I can't wait to see what you have in your cargo shorts.
I don't even know if I have cargo shorts anymore. Nobody should wear cargo shorts. That's it. That's all I got. That was my last.
All right. We will see y'all on the other side of disc golf.
Oh, hey, welcome back. Shannon and I have returned from the woods and the fields.
In one piece.
Yeah.
Physically.
Almost. Well, one of our group did sustain an injury, but we'll get into that later.
It wasn't us.
It wasn't us. Yeah, we're totally fine. Yeah, I guess you're listening to disc golf. let's get them back into it. We've returned from the woods. Everything happened the way we kind of thought it would. You did not wear the things that you said you were going to wear. And you usually go over the top.
Calling me out right away.
Hey, I call it how I see it.
That is true. I did not have my act together enough to locate my stereotypical female golfer outfit. So we went after work on a Friday, and I was majorly dressed down. Jeans, high top sneakers, hoodie, not hiking attire in any way.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, it was. We didn't really prep for
We failed on the outfit
we
front.
We did. Which is not typical.
I think when we do things on a Saturday or a Sunday, you know, we, like, can prepare our outfits a little better. Mm. But a Friday after work is a little more rushed.
It's true. So, hey, let me ask you, how was your weekend?
My weekend was frustrating at times, hilarious at times, and that's about all I have to say to sum it up.
I can understand all of those points.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty good. I was, I don't know. I wanted to run. So it was hard for me not to like run and have to wait for people. Like disc golf is something that I have to like have manners for and wait. So it was slow and relaxing as far as a weekend was concerned.
And in terms, yes, in terms of your forward progression from point A to point B, I have never moved so slowly through the woods in my entire life. And I think in part one I said I was worried I was going to get bored. That didn't happen.
Oh, you weren't bored.
No, I didn't get bored. Did you get bored?
Kinda.
Although, here's the thing. We didn't play a full 18 holes.
Right.
We only played 9. I will say if we had kept going past 9, I probably would have gotten bored. But 9 holes was the perfect stopping point for me.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
It went quickly. Yeah, 9 holes I think is a legitimate first timer. It's the right amount to have had an authentic experience.
Right. We would have been crushed. And I think we probably would have had a different perspective on disc golf if we had done 18.
Yeah, I'm fine with the perspective I got.
Yeah.
So, we got to the disc golf course, which is just part of a larger park trail situation. Our friend Matt had his backpack full of discs.
We got a picture of that, I think.
Yes, I think we did.
Sweet. Yeah,
with you wearing it.
All right. Yeah,
you
looked
very professional.
I'm a very professional man.
And
we applied tick spray because we were walking through the woods and the fields.
Yes, that was wise.
So I would say that hiking gear.
Hippie tick spray with no chemicals. Just got to put that out there.
Yeah, like different, I think dressing for a round of disc golf would have helped at least a little bit, maybe. Getting prepped and ready, bringing drinks, some food.
Yeah, we didn't have our twisted tees. No. Yeah, our preparation was way off.
Yeah.
But fortunately, Matt was prepared.
It's true.
And so he hooked us up. We didn't end up using any mid ranges. I believe we each just had a driver that he had recommended to us and a putter.
That's not true. I used a mid-range.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed. So you had 3 discs going.
Yep.
Oh, I didn't.
I wonder how much that changed your game compared to my game.
Well, here's the thing. I was using the... Okay, so let's start with how you start a hole of disc golf, right?
Okay.
So there are tees.
Just like normal golf. Stick golf.
Sure. Except the tee is pretty much just like a rectangle that you stand in or stand on to throw your disc from. And in the distance, it can be very varied distance.
From a distance.
From, I'm not good with distances. What, 500 feet to...
I think 500 was the long.
Okay. So maybe even from 100 to 500 feet at this particular course?
I would say like 250 to 500 is probably pretty good.
Okay, thank you for helping out with that.
Yeah.
So you stand on the tee and you have to scout out where this metal basket is that's like sitting on a pole. And sometimes
everybody asks, was like, hey, where's the tea? And it doesn't matter. We all ask each other.
Right. And sometimes if it's across the field, obviously it's in plain sight. But a lot of the holes were straight up in the middle of the woods behind mad trees.
Crazy trees.
Not a clear path at all, which that's where a lot of my frustration came in.
I saw it.
Yeah. It was troublesome.
Okay. But to the tees, again, just kind of like real golf, there are options. So there were three different options that you could play at this course.
TA, TB, and TC.
Right. And generally when you play like tournaments there, I guess you always play like the longest ones.
Right. A is considered the pro tee.
And then the B is like the mid-range, so it sort of shortens up or you get a better look at the basket. And then C is like the shortest newcomer to disc golf.
It's the newcomer to disc golf tee.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess statistically, who is most likely to be a newcomer to disc golf?
Women.
Yeah. So, I was using the CT.
The CT.
Also referred to by our crew as the girl T.
The girl? Nobody said that. Not me.
It was all in good fun.
It was all in good fun.
All in good fun. So, yeah. Okay. Whether you're on the pro T or the B T or the C T, you step up onto the T with your driver.
You grab your disc.
You grab your disc and you let it rip.
Yeah.
And it's super intense. It was intense watching our friend who is very experienced in disc golf doing everything having to do with disc golf, but the driver first throw was getting a lot of distance. I didn't know that a disc could fly that far.
Mm-hmm.
And you also threw very well.
Thank you.
And I did not throw so well off the tee. I think you have to put your whole body into it based on watching our friend, and that's just not a thing that I was wrapping my head around. I had no strategy.
Oh. Yeah, I just threw it as hard as I possibly could. And I can't throw a frisbee. Frisbee, and I'm being serious, like a frisbee I can't throw. Right. Like the one with like the edges, like the, I don't know, like the place to hold onto it. Whenever I throw one of those regular frisbees, it goes left to right, no control. But these discs are so narrow and thin that they don't catch the air, so it kind of helps out.
Like you can accomplish a lot through brute force.
Yes.
So I guess that was the issue, is you have more general brute force than I do.
Yeah, I'll take that.
And I don't. But I really think that if I spent some more time just learning about the throwing strategy, and I am sure you have to use your core, because everything you do, you find out you can do it better if you use your core, which I wasn't doing.
Yeah, the harder I threw, the better I did, and the more thought that I put into it, and the weaker I tried to like gauge how much power I put into it, the worse I did. Unless I hit a tree.
The trees. Oh, man. So after you throw your first throw, you just follow after your disc, and whoever's furthest away throws again. And you keep going that way until eventually you get to the basket and everyone gets their disc in the basket. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of like golf or mini golf rules.
Right, yeah, furthest away goes first.
I was going first a lot. So because I wasn't getting good distance off my drives, it would take me three or four throws to even get to the point where you guys were. So that's where some frustration may have creeped in.
That was going to be my first question. Did that frustrate you at all? Did you think that it was less fun because of that?
Yeah, I generally don't have quite as much fun when I know that I'm like, I suck at something. But I also went into it knowing I probably wouldn't be doing very well. since I haven't thrown disc before. I also knew that you guys didn't care because I wouldn't be friends with you if you were the type of people like, oh, she's slowing down our game.
Right. Smash a twisted tea bottle against a tree and come after you.
But that aside, I also don't like feeling like I'm holding people back or I was slowing the progression of the game. Can I tell you what, like, the worst part was for me?
Yeah.
So, okay, there is this thing. It's a German term.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's called, I apologize for the pronunciation, Fremdschamen.
Okay.
And so this is something that I think plagues everyone on some level, but I think you might have an acute case of it. Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah.
You look really worried right now.
Yeah, no, I...
Fremdschamen is when you feel embarrassed when someone else embarrasses themselves. I think I have a slightly elevated level of this, but I know for you it...
That stuff's hard for me. Yeah. Like, I can't watch anything embarrassing.
Okay, so...
Like, or somebody, like, not even, like, doing well. Like, I can't do it. Like, watching the Office was very hard for me. Michael Scott, like, made me just want to throw up all the time.
You were just so embarrassed for him.
Ugh.
So, as we're walking through the woods, as I said earlier, was not prepared at all. And I was wearing really old sneakers with no tread on them whatsoever. And I had to walk down a like leaf litter filled steep hill to go get my disc that had bounced off a tree for the 10th time. And I totally lost my footing and came so close to sliding down the hill and just... Yeah, I really almost ate it, which I was embarrassed about. And I was like, oh, if Craig saw that, he's going to be so embarrassed for me that almost happened that it's going to ruin his day and maybe even ruin our friendship.
No, I did see that. I did. No, and I... So you were embarrassed for me maybe being embarrassed?
Yes.
Oh, no, I was honestly just worried about your well-being.
I wasn't really embarrassed. I just thought that you would be embarrassed that that happened to me. And so I was like worried for you.
Right.
How you could handle it emotionally.
No, I was just worried. First, I was amazed that you even like stood up because you did like the double foot kick out.
I caught it.
Yeah.
I guess if anything, I should be proud.
Yeah. And then I was worried about like a hamstring injury.
All good.
No, thanks. Not embarrassed.
All right. Wow. So maybe your Fremdschamen is, you're getting it under control.
Yeah. No. But, was that the same hole that you really did honestly hit 6 trees in a row? Was that the same hole? Like 5 feet away, like you just like hit a tree, picked it up and like hit another tree and like it.
Yeah. That's all I was doing.
But there was one, it was legit 6 in a row. Like I had to start counting.
Yes, it was that one. I hit every tree in the forest and I was so frustrated and this is also when the injury happened.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm hitting all these trees and we learned a little disc golf terminology. One term, which is tree love.
Mm-hmm. It's not what you think.
Right. That's a whole nother podcast.
It's a TJ.
TJ. Tree love is when you throw your disc and you hit a tree, but it bounces off the tree in some kind of favorable way. Like it helped you. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, tree love.
Puts you back in the fairway or stops you from like going into a water hazard. Yeah. Tree love.
So that came up because my throwing of the disc, hitting every tree in the forest, was the counterexample. Like, this is not tree love. Then our friend Matt, who took us disc golfing, was safely standing behind me on one of my throws, which when you're disc golfing, you should be behind the person throwing, which you didn't do at any point.
No.
You pretty much just...
I wanted to walk. I needed to walk.
So he's standing behind me, and somehow I throw the disc and it bounces off a tree and goes behind me and just thwomped him in the forehead. And it broke the skin.
Broke skin, blood, a little bit of a nugget on his forehead.
Yeah. And of course, the obvious joke was like, oh, see, I finally got some tree love. That's what you get for calling it the girl tea.
Mm-hmm.
So it all worked out well karmically. It was a great moment. Okay, so while I was throwing discs at trees all afternoon, Craig, you were rocking it. I think you're a natural.
There was a legit competition going on. Yeah. So it was fun. Again, like, I can't throw a frisbee, but I did pretty well. Probably beginner's luck. I'll say something. Yeah. Works out. But Matt, who took us, is like almost, I would say, mid-season form. Because he's gone out a lot.
He's been playing for 3 years. He watches videos on technique.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, he's intense.
Well, in a good way.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so he was out there, and first couple holes, you know, I was a little bit off, but then I just came back and just stomped him.
You did.
It was great. I didn't rub it in his face too badly, but I did a couple times be like, I just want to let you know, I've never done this before. I'm up on you by 3 strokes.
There's nothing anyone loves more than...
Yeah, just being beat by a beginner.
Yeah. I love when that happens.
But it was good. It was fun. I mean, it got close down to the end, so it was good competition for me, which I liked.
I really wasn't involved in the competition. I wasn't even keeping track of my score.
That would have been pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very high number.
But we thank Matt for bringing us out, and he was a good, I guess, leader.
Yes.
Teacher. Professional. For
sure. He gave just enough advice.
Yeah, and wasn't, like, snarky about it.
No.
It was, and gave, like, a whole lot of, like, really good advice on different shots, different ways to throw. It was good.
Would you go again?
Yeah, I'll go again. I'm sure Matt wants a rematch.
That is probably true.
Yeah. So I'll probably go again, and just to, because I know that the disc golf courses are everywhere in the, again, we're in southern Vermont, southern New Hampshire, so there's a lot of disc golf courses around. So maybe, like, even to see different parts, kind of like going on different hikes, might be worthwhile. Different experiences.
I agree with that. I would like to go again.
Yeah.
I know that I have nothing but potential based on that first experience. I have nothing. I have to improve.
Right.
The bar is so low for me improving. So, yeah, even just out of stubbornness, because I really played so poorly, I have to go and prove to myself that I can get my form dialed in somewhat and only hit, like, 3 trees per hole.
Right. Well, I wonder if the golf courses or the disc golf courses change in scenery, like whether it's all through the woods like we experienced, will change how you play and how you enjoy it versus like a wide open field versus...
Right. Is there a disc golf course with just open fields and then you don't have to deal with the trees? Right. I don't think I would like that, actually. I liked being in the woods.
Huh.
Just didn't like hitting the trees with my disc.
Yeah.
So much.
But I think I would also... Again, bring a backpack filled with supplies that I would want. Make a day of it.
Yep, wear proper shoes. And also, I would say have that, like, part of a day's plan of activities, but also include something a little bit more fast-paced or intense to just, like, go for a run first and then play disc golf.
Right.
Or something.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Or swim or something. Or, like, you could go disc golfing and then go for a swim after, just to kind of, like, bring the level down even more so, but...
Yes, I would...
Yeah.
If you're making a day of it, I would say you'd have to pair it with another activity.
Make it a duathlon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that was disc golf.
That's it. Mark it down.
Do it.
Do it.
The weather's getting good for that kind
of
stuff.
Right. And even if you're a girl and you want to go out there and try it... Be one of the 7.6. Bring it on up.
Let's raise that percentage, ladies.
Absolutely.
All right. That's it for now. Please get in touch with us. You know our email, howwasyourweekend, WKND@gmail. We on that Twitter. We on that Instagram. We on that everywhere. Snapchat.
Yeah.
All over the place.
You can find us everywhere.
Hit us up. Hit us up.
Wow.
And we out. Don't worry, listeners. We would never be out without leaving you with a Kanye West quote. Since we participated in a competitive event this past weekend, I wanted to leave you with some of Kanye's remarks on competition. When I think of competition, it's like I try to create against the past. I think about Michelangelo and Picasso. You know, the pyramids. Until next time, folks.